Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
The First United Methodist Church podcast is recorded live every week at 4832 Tujunga Avenue in North Hollywood, California. Thank you for downloading.
A reading from the book of John 13. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, you will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. And a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me, if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the light and reveal. Come with the wind and breathe. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God. Until we do something. Scholars tell us that where Paul is poetic, John is just plain blunt. He is at us and on our feet, telling us who Jesus is and who we are not. This is what is known as a pre-passion narrative. The passage that follows has Peter confronting Jesus, asking him why they can't go. And Jesus begins to explain the passion narrative, and Peter says that he would follow Jesus even unto death. And then in that most chilling line, Jesus says, "Before the cock crows three times, you will have denied even knowing me." That's about as blunt as it gets, about as strict and truthful and honest. Sometimes we want the truth, but only as it reflects favorably upon us. Most of the time, we want somebody to gild the lily, which is a polite way of saying, just tell me a convincing lie. Jesus looks at his followers and says, "I have a new commandment, not a suggestion, not a wish, but a commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Well, any historian or sociologist would say, so how's that going 2,000 years later? We do love one another, but we struggle because of our humanity, because of who we are in all of our human nature. Those of you who follow music know that I love it, and a great country artist, some would say the greatest singer, I don't know that he was the greatest, but George Jones died at 81. And a number of people wondered how he managed to live that long because of the demons that he fought for decades upon decades. Randall Roberts of the LA Times did a beautiful appreciation of his life, and I just want to share a simple quote, and it's not Randall Roberts, it's George Jones quoting himself. Randall Roberts said the title of the article was "He Gave Voice to Heartbreak," and yeah, if you've ever heard "He Stopped Loving Her Today," that's heartbreak. Here's what George Jones said in his autobiography. "Country music is the most honest music in the world, and I think people who sing it should be honest. A country music fan is the most loyal creature on earth if you're honest with them." And then he goes to the heart of it and says, "I'm not proud of some of the things that I've done, and I haven't gone around talking about all of them. But if I was asked, and if I answered, I answered honestly." But honesty isn't always the best policy, now is it? If my wife asks, "Do I look fat in this dress?" I'm going to lie. Right. Thank you. He said, "I'm not going to have to lie," and that's true. I'm fortunate that way. This is from a couple of days ago in Dear Amy, whom I love to read because of her bluntness. I'm just going to read it because it's brief enough. "I totally agree with your response to two desperate friends. You stated friends tell each other the truth and then friends stick around for the aftermath. I had a best friend years ago, 25 years or so. One day he asked me if I thought he was doing right to marry his girlfriend. I was as kind as I could be, but I told him no, and I told him why as diplomatically as I could. Our friendship cooled gradually after that, and we have not spoken in years. My wife thinks I should have told him what he wanted to hear. I told her I have not one moment of regret. I did exactly what I would have expected of him, to tell your friend the truth." And I'm going to come back with the best part of the quote for me. It's signed Rick in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. "You treated your friend as you would have wanted him to treat you." And what Rick closed with this, he said, "These folks are still married. They have a long relationship, and it works this way. There's a lot of give and take. He gives and she takes." And I thought that was a powerful line. The truth of it is, only those involved in a relationship know what's going on in that relationship. I'm sorry for the loss of his friend, but the truth is an important thing, not just in country music. There's a wonderful story about an elderly couple, 90-ish. They had been married 60 years. They died in a car crash, and they had been in good health the last 10 years, mainly due to the wife's interest in health food and exercise. When they reached the pearly gate, St. Peter took them to their mansion, which was decked out with a beautiful kitchen and a master bath suite and a jacuzzi. As they oohed and awed, the old man asked Peter, "How much is all this going to cost?" And Peter said, "This is heaven. It's free." Next, they went out back to survey the championship golf course that the home is backed up to. They would have golfing privileges every day, and each week the course is changed to a new one representing the greatest golf courses on earth. The old man asked, "What are the green fees?" Peter said, "This is heaven. It's free." Next, they went to the clubhouse and saw the lavish buffet with all the cuisines of the world. "How much to eat?" asked the old man. "Don't you understand? This is heaven. It's free." "Well, where are the low-fat and low-cholesterol tables?" the old man asked timidly. Peter explained, "That's the best part. You can eat as much as you want and whatever you like, and you never get fat, you never get sick. This is heaven." The man removed his hat, yelled and shrieked, stomped on his hat, and said, "This is your fault. I could have been here 10 years ago if it wasn't for your low-fat muffins." Love is a curious thing now, isn't it? Each of us carries our own understanding of what love is and how we manifest that in the way we live. Jesus is talking to the disciples that's saying the linchpin of your work as disciples, your most important effort is rooted in love, not judgment, not hate, not teaching, but love. Why did he choose that? Why did he choose that? We can live our lives two or three times and never fully understand why Jesus was rooted in love. That's what makes his life so powerful yet today, and what his love can do for us. Edward R. Murrow was a very famous newscaster, and I just ran over this quote the other day in the Daily News. Everyone is a prisoner of his own experience. Everyone is a prisoner of his own experience. No one can eliminate prejudices. Just recognize them. Think of that with regard to how we respond to views that confront us or confuse us. I received an email this week that fits at least what I think I want to say about this text and how powerful love is over prejudice and hate. The person who sent it is a decorated military veteran of Vietnam. It was sent to him by some other people. And there were several quotes, and I'm going to just read two briefly and then endeavor to comment on this. It's about, where is it here? It's about Barbara Walters commenting on Jane Fonda being named one of the 100 women of the year and receiving a presidential award. I know that saying Jane Fonda to some of you, that's already got you spinning. But and here it says, issue of faith. If we must forgive, must we forget? Ms. Fonda is to receive a presidential award as a woman of the century, and in parentheses, canonization. I don't think it's canonization, but because politics doesn't do that. But there are those who will never forget the prisoners of war in Vietnam who suffered because of her. There are also those who will never forget the indignities upon their return from Vietnam. There are those who innocently served but returned home physically maimed and or suffering from the long psychological impairments. One could reasonably surmise that many of the physical and mental impairments which followed our returning veterans were exactly or directly caused by Ms. Fonda. And then it's not a paragraph, but a sentence. According to Wikipedia, she became a Christian in 2001 at age 64. And then there's several long quotes by Barbara Walters saying that Ms. Fonda is entitled to, you know, her fitness empire, and she is a beautiful woman in her 70s and all of those things. But you don't forget what she did. And there's another quote in here I wanted to, okay. This one is signed Ronald B. Sampson, a retired sergeant of the United States Air Force, and he calls her a war criminal and a traitor. Those are probably the kindest two things he says. And then the very bottom of the page, it says, no virus was found in this message. And I would tell you that I thought, yeah, it was viral, full of vitriol and meanness. No less than the Honorable Senator John McCain has forgiven Jane Fonda. He was a prisoner of war. a decorated naval aviator. So here's what I want to say in part. My mother, God rest her, and she rests in my heart, said, at least 100,000 times, "You forgive, but you never forget." I think that's not true. I think you have to forget. And I mean absolutely forget. Remember what we started with, that Jesus tells Peter that he will deny him. And we know that. It's part of the biblical record. But who gets the keys to the kingdom? Peter. Simon Bar-Jonah. Fred Buechner, the Presbyterian theologian, says every time Jesus is about to get downright serious, he says, "Simon Bar-Jonah, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." Is Jesus stupid? Or did he forgive the betrayal and forget? Only we know in our hearts where we are. I'm of Vietnam in vintage, but I am not a veteran. Some of you have heard this story. At 19, I got that letter from the President of the United States. Greetings. It didn't feel very friendly, but I went to Los Angeles, which was the lowest rung in Hades that I knew of at that time, and stood in line unclothed for 3 hours for a draft induction physical. At the end of it, they looked at my eyes and said, "We're not giving you a gun." So, unless it's an all-out declared war, go home and chase girls, which I did successfully, sort of successfully for a couple of years. I don't know what it's like to be a prisoner of war. I've known several people, including an uncle who was captured by the French, who turned him over to the Germans in World War II. And my Uncle Leonard had issues, but he had long since forgiven both the French and the Germans because he had other fish to fry. It's not accidental that Jesus says, this is the new commandment. You love one another as you've been loved. For some, it's difficult, and I confess I stand at the head of the line. People who have wronged me and hurt me or offended me or just been plain mean-spirited, there are times when I am that full-on backslider. Just keep them away from me because I'm liable to hit them. The reality, when God is at God's best and when Jesus' love is alive in my heart, I can just laugh and say, how human. And I'm human too. God love them. And God love me in my weakness as well. So be it. And amen.
Thank you for listening to the North Hollywood First United Methodist Church Sermon Podcast, delivered by Dr. Joey McDonald. For more information, please check out nohomethodistchurch.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter under NoHoFUMC.